Since Roosevelt, the best with the press probably was John Kennedy, although it should be remembered that he once banned the New York Herald Tribune from the White House in a fit of temper over something that had offended him. Some of Kennedy's closest friends were newspeople, noteworthy among them Ben Bradlee, who, when Kennedy was president, was Newsweek's Washington bureau chief, later managing editor of the Washington Post. Various alleged episodes of marital unfaithfulness have surfaced in the decades since Kennedy's death, perhaps none more shocking than a story recounted in a book by Joe Alsop. The columnist's author wrote that on the very night of the inauguration, Kennedy forsook the White House and showed up alone at an informal open house Alsop found himself hosting at his Georgetown home after all the other partying had ended. There, according to Alsop, the man who had been President of the United States a bare 12 hours enjoyed a bedroom tryst with a very attractive young actress. The version I got years later from the by-then-twice-widowed Jackie Kennedy Onassis, or at least the version I think I heard, was somewhat different. Occasionally, we have sailed from our Martha's Vineyard summer home across Nantucket Sound to Hyannis. We dropped the anchor near the Kennedy compound, and almost always a vivacious and gracious Ethel Kennedy drops by in her sailboat. She insists that we come ashore, play tennis if there's time, and stay for dinner or whatever entertainment the always active Kennedys have planned for the evening. This day, she said we had to stay for dinner to help celebrate Jackie's birthday. She would not listen to our protest that we were not dressed for such an event. Just 4 or 5 people, she said, just the family. It turned out so, and I was seated between Ethel and Jackie. It was a nice, intimate time, and Jackie was unusually loquacious, although with my hearing and her breathless whisper, I was having trouble understanding all she had to say. I felt my ears were flapping when I heard her telling me of the fun she and Jack had at the White House on inaugural night. Let me try to reconstruct her story as I heard it, or didn't hear it. "Oh, Walter, Jack was so funny. He insisted that we go into the Lincoln bedroom first, and despite his bad back, he wanted to carry me across the threshold like a bribe. We got into the bedroom, and he dropped me on the bed and... Oh, we laughed so. But then, Walter, we went over to our bedroom, and he picked me up and had trouble getting us through the door. Then he went over to the bed again, and he bounced on it, and we bounced on it. Oh, we laughed so. I asked for a repeat at the critical points. I asked twice, as much as decency would allow, and twice the whisper faded until there was nothing left but my imagination. If Jackie had just talked more and aspirated less, this story might have contributed something to the history of that inaugural night. The revelations of later years about Kennedy's romantic escapades, even within the White House, have posed justifiable questions about the integrity of the press. Surely one is entitled to ask, newspeople covering the White House must have known of Kennedy's many liaisons. Why didn't they tell us? Newsmen, particularly those who are supposed to be expert on their beats, usually are quick to claim inside knowledge of almost any story in their bailiwick that comes up now or forever in the future. Yet it is interesting that none of the White House correspondents I know claimed at the time to have any evidence of John Kennedy's alleged bedroom escapades. Most will tell you today that they knew about the rumors, but they never were able to come up with enough evidence to go with the story. This alibi serves as a denial of responsibility for a gross dereliction of the Fourth Estate's duty. Certainly, the Kennedy-era reporters were operating in a time almost as different from today as were the years of Lincoln or Washington. In the 60s, the Washington press, as did the press elsewhere, operated on a rule of thumb regarding the morals of our public men. The rule had it that, as long as his outside activities, alcoholic or sexual, did not interfere with or seriously endanger the discharge of his public duties, a man was entitled to his privacy. This pardon was extended to the young president. In the light of later revelations that at least one of his lady friends even had close mafia connections, this pardon was a mistake. If there were news people who knew and failed to report, no wonder they are too embarrassed to confess it now.